Good morning. Today, we read a short section from Mark's Gospel, which is part of a long series of episodes in which Jesus is contrasting true faith and the religious practices of the elders of his day. First, he talks of scribes who were the VIPs of first century Judaism. Then he lets his focus rest on a poor widow and her offering. Mark chapter 12, verses 38 to 44. Warnings about experts in the law. In his teachings, Jesus also said, "Watch out for the experts in the law. They like walking around in long robes and elaborate greetings in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' property and as a show make long prayers. These men will receive a more severe punishment." The widow's offering. Then he sat down opposite the offering box and watched the crowd putting coins into it. Many rich people were throwing in large amounts, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, worth less than a penny. He called his disciples and said to them, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the offering box than all the others, for they all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, but put in what she had to live on, everything she had." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Will you join me in prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the actions of our lives be acceptable as an offering in your sight, O God. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. First, a little story. There was a fiery preacher who possessed a very peculiar power, a peculiar gift. He found out that from an early age, when he prayed for an individual, they would supernaturally lose all of their religious convictions. They would invariably lose all their beliefs in all the teachings they'd ever heard from the prophets, the scriptures, the Sunday school, everything they believed about God. They would just vanish. And so he learned not to pray for people. But instead, he kind of limited his activities to preaching and to doing good works. But one day, he was traveling in the country, and this preacher found himself in conversation with a businessman who happened to be going in the same direction as him, and they got into this was a kind of a powerful, somewhat ruthless merchant banker who was honored and revered and somewhat feared by his adversaries. Their conversation began because the businessman noticed, being a person of deep faith, noticed the preacher was reading from his Bible. And so he introduced himself to the preacher, and they began to talk, and this powerful man told the preacher about his faith in God. and his love of Christ. And he spoke of how his work did not really define who he was. His faith really defined who he was. But it was something that he just simply had to do. The world of business is a cold one, he said to the preacher. And in my line of work, I find myself in situations that really challenge my Christian convictions. But I try as much as possible to remain true to my faith. And so I attend the local church every Sunday, and I participate in the prayer circle that's happening there, and I help out with the youth group, and I contribute to a weekly Bible study, and these activities help to remind me of who I really am. And after listening carefully, the preacher began to realize that this weird, unusual gift that he had a purpose. And he turned to the businessman and he said, "Would you allow me to pray a blessing on your life?" And the businessman agreed, unaware of what would happen. And sure enough, after the preacher muttered his simple little prayer, the man opened his eyes and he was astonished. "What a fool I have been these years. It is clear to me now that there is no God above who is looking out for me, that there are no sacred texts around to guide me, and there's no spirit to inspire or protect me." And as they parted company, the businessman was a little bit confused and shaken by the experience, but he went home. But now that he no longer had his religious beliefs, he began to find the work that he did every day really difficult. Faced with the fact that he was now just a hard-nosed businessman working in a corrupt system, rather than a man of God who was doing what he had to do, he started to hate his work. And within months, he had a breakdown. And soon after that, he gave up this line of work. And after he did that, he started to feel a little better. And then he went on to give to the poor all the riches that he had accumulated all his life up to that point. And in fact, he began to use his somewhat considerable managerial expertise to go after the system that he used to work in all the time. One day, many years later, he happened upon the preacher again while he was walking through town, and he ran over and he fell down in front of at the preacher's feet, and he began to weep with joy. And eventually he looked up and he said, "Thank you, my dear friend, for helping me discover my faith." Beware, says Jesus, of religiosity, of religious people whose faith is somehow separated from their ethics, who on the one hand pray like saints, and on the other hand, in his words, devour widows' houses. People don't realize that Jesus was a critic of religion. But over and over again, he warns us to be cautious of religious people. And in this section of Mark's gospel, he contrasts over and over again religious leaders who wear fancy clothes and pray long prayers and command respect with this poor widow who comes to the temple and offers all that she has. Jesus is not at all interested in religion. Rather, he is interested in the way we give our lives, and what we give them for, and how we pour them out. He's not interested in religion, but in faith. And that's a very different thing. If our religion, if our church going, if our prayers, our sermons, our songs do not lead us to pour our lives out in love for a world that God loves, it's useless. The end of religion, that is to say, the purpose of religion, its ultimate goal, the good it has to offer, is to help people give their lives away. Generously for the sake of love in the world. It doesn't matter what religion you're talking about. At the heart of every major religion is some tenet that says love. In the end, it actually doesn't matter how you pray. What matters is the way and the extent to which we pour ourselves out for the sake of love in the world. That's the end of religion. In your bulletin this week, or as you came in today, you hopefully received a little red square. Did everybody receive one of them? There should be lots of them around. Like about 125,000 of them. In our act of remembering, we witnessed and we remembered 114,000 little red squares. 114,000 Canadian lives that were lost to war in the last 115 years. Each one had a life to live, and they lived it. And then they lost it in war. We remember them today and on November 11th because their life mattered. Their life was precious, and it was offered for the sake of others. They gave it all, just like the widow gave it all. And it's important to remember them and to be thankful for them. It is equally important to remember that you too have a little red square, a life to offer, just as precious. It matters. And you too have and all to give. Your life is quite literally in your hands. So I invite you to take this little red square and hold it in your hand for a moment. Much like I would imagine that the widow held those two copper coins in her hand. I don't know what you have been told over the years about your life, your character, who you are, and what you have to offer this world. I do know that when Jesus looked at the poor widow who came to the temple that day with her two little coins, he had deep respect for her and what she offered. And I believe he looks with the same depth of respect at you and what you offer. The measure of our faith is not to be found in our religiosity, but in the way that we give. So today I want you to think about that little red square that is in your hands. it represents what you give. What you give in your family. It represents what you give in your time. It represents the way you invest your emotion in the people around you. It represents what you do with your money. It represents what you do in your work life. Unlike the businessman, we don't separate our religious life and the rest of our life. It is all one, all offered, all an issue of faith. So today, there are two kinds of offerings. In a moment, when the offering goes around, I will go to the back and I will get one of those silver bowls that you saw the children using to pour these red squares on the table. And we will have the usual financial offering, but we will also pass around this silver bowl, and you're invited to take your square and place it in the silver bowl. Two kinds of offering, the usual financial one that supports the ministry of Northwood United Church, our ministry together, and the offering of our small red square that represents the ways in which you pour your life out for the sake of love in the world. And as the choir sings, I invite you to hold your red square and let it come to mean all that you offer. The all that you are.